Good morning. Happy Resurrection Day. Thank you. Matthew chapter 28, verses 5 and 6 say this. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here. He has risen from the dead, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. He has risen. These words are divine music to our human ears. Because of this event, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he separated himself from the pretender gods with a small g. They may call themselves gods, but none of them created you. None of them died for you on a cross, and none of them rose from the dead. Resurrection is a calling card of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it is impossible to beat. And because of the event that preceded resurrection, his crucifixion, he defeated the power of spiritual death and the sin nature and personal sinning on your behalf. And we come to Bible study as a time of renewing, a time to bring to mind intentionally all of the marvelous things that we have at our disposal because of these two miraculous events, crucifixion and resurrection. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 says that you request that you be renewed by God in the spirit of your mind. Now's the time to open yourself to the truth, to let your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through the power of God the Holy Spirit, prepare you to, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Welcome to our celebration of crucifixion and resurrection. As God prepares you for the renewing of your mind, let's hear June Murphy worship our God in song. While you let thoughts of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you occupy your mind. The opening song is Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone.
My God, my Savior, have the rest. chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, have ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace.
Shall soon dissolve like snow, and the sun forbid to shine. But God, who's called me, shall be forever mine. He'll be forever mine.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Help us to celebrate the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord by making us aware in our souls of the personal nature of these events for every one of us. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Welcome to Barah Ministries. My name is Rory Clark. My spiritual gift as pastor teacher, it's a gift that was given to me for your benefit, for the building up of the body of Christ, for the building up of the royal family of God. Welcome to a ministry designed for people who want a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today's study, Crucifixion and Resurrection, Conquered Sin and Death. Crucifixion and Resurrection, Conquered Sin and Death. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Deacon Denny, you need one right up here. Romans chapter 6. Those of you who aren't real familiar with the Bible, just go up into the front where the index is and look for Romans under the New Testament, and then turn to that page and then find chapter 6. It is about 3/4 of the way through the whole book. Romans chapter 6. You know, one time I said that we were never going to study the book of Romans because that would take a lifetime. We're going to study the book of Romans. Yeah, I never say never, right? But it won't take a lifetime because it's so amazing that we would want to study it for a lifetime if we could. But Romans and Ephesians are the two books in the New Testament that really outline the Christian way of life in tremendous detail. And to the degree that a pastor has you in Romans and Ephesians, you know you've got a pastor on your hands who's going to take care of your spiritual life. So we're going to spend a lot of time there. Romans chapter 6, and we're going to start at verse 8, and we're going to go to verse 18. Now, if we have died with Christ, and all believers have, we believe that we shall also live with him. So we died at the cross with Christ because we identify as believers in Christ with his crucifixion at the cross. And some cool crucifixion things happened at the cross. Verse 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, resurrection, is never to die again, and death is no longer a master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all time. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves, believers in Christ, to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And therefore, because you are dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. What does that mean? It means don't let the sovereignty of the sin nature, which has been crucified and has been rendered completely impotent and dead, don't go back to it and start and now start listening to it as a sovereign as you would an ex-spouse. You don't go back and listen to the ex-spouse. The ex-spouse is dead to you. You don't go back and listen to the ex-spouse. And the sin nature, once crucified at the cross, is a dead spouse. No longer to listen to the dead spouse again. So don't let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And don't go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as if you are those who are alive from the dead. In other words, if the sin nature has been crucified in you, act like it. If the sin nature is no longer your sovereign, act like it. Stop listening to it and start listening to the new self, which is the place that God is taking you. So verse 13, don't go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you. The sin nature will not be master over you because you are not under law. You're not under the Mosaic law as a church age believer. What are you under? Grace. Verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? Absolutely not. Ook. May it never be. Not never. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of the sin nature resulting in death, or of obedience resulting in righteousness. That's the obedience to God. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. That when you responded positively to the gospel message, you changed the focus of your life from the sin nature to God. And so now you're no longer listening to the sin nature who is torturing you. Tell it to shut up. And having been freed from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. So that was Romans chapter 6, verses 8 to 18. Now let's zoom into a couple of verses. Let's zoom in first to verse 14. What does it say? The sin nature shall not be master over you, believers in Christ. Why? Because you are not under the Mosaic law. The Mosaic law was for the Old Testament. And in the Mosaic law, what did it do? When you were under those laws, what did it flush out? You're a sinner. You need a Savior. You want to get somebody to screw things up? Put them under some rules. You want to screw something up yourself? Put yourself under rules. How many of you have tried to lose weight over the course of your lifetime? Raise your hand. All right. So what's the first thing you did? You put yourself under a diet, didn't you? Under a rule. And what happened? It didn't work out. And what you found out is you're a moron, right? Amen? You found out you can't do it. So you got to understand that rules don't work for people. That was what the Mosaic law was. It flushed out how lousy we are at keeping rules. Now, the goofball says, oh, well, then we shouldn't have any rules. Yeah, let's not obey traffic signals. You know, let's just all go when we want to go. You've been at every intersection where that ever happened. So that's not it, right? But what is it? It's freedom. It's liberty. And that's what the cross has invited us to, liberty. The right to make our own choices and to live with those decisions. But we are not to listen as believers in Christ anymore to that old self, which is telling us we're lousy, we're stupid, we don't know what we're doing, we're a sinner, and we're not to keep going back like a dog returning to its vomit to that crap. Yet we do. We still listen to it. We like hearing it a lot more than we like hearing about the new self, this magnificent resurrection life that we celebrate today. Because the resurrection life, the Zoe life, is not a future event. It's right now. It's right now that God intended for you to have a life that is beyond your wildest dreams. God intended for you to handle every situation in your life with absolute calm, no matter what. The doctor says to you, you have cancer. And you say, great. Fantastic. Why is that great? The mortality tables say, rah, 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 and you've got 6 months to live. No, you don't understand. You are not the sovereign of the universe. You don't have the power to tell me how long I can live. As a matter of fact, you might not make it that long, and I'm kind of hoping you don't, because then I won't have to pay you. Amen? No, they can't tell you that. They're not the sovereign of the universe, and God gives his believers cancer so they can demonstrate the magnificence of living a resurrection life, which is contentment regardless of circumstances. Do you feel that contentment in your life? Because if you're a believer in Christ, you are intended, in fact, made and designed for a life of contentment and a life of relaxation no matter what the circumstance. And the world is always telling you how screwed up you are and how screwed up your life is. How your past and everything you've done in your past is the predictor of your future. It is not. It is not. And the only problem is you believe that crap. You believe it. The past is the past. You can't fix it. And this whole world is set up to take you back there and to make you ruminate on the past, just like we were ruminating on our sins as believers who believed in rebound and bringing them up over and over again. They're paid for at the cross. And every time we bring them up again, we're nullifying the power of crucifixion. Jesus Christ went to the cross for a purpose. He went to the cross to take our mistakes out of our way. Now we want to think about them again, like a dog returning to its vomit. No, we don't want to think about that again. We want to think about the future that we're going to write. We want to think about the future that we're going to create. We're going to think about the magnificence of what God has planned for us. We're going to look at life from his eyes, because he doesn't see you as a goof up. He sees you as the best thing that ever happened to planet Earth. Amen? And there's going to be a day when that is a reality in your soul. Right soon. Romans 6:14. The sin nature shall not be master over you. You are not under the Mosaic law. But you church age believers are under grace, which means your mistakes are no longer an issue to God. He took them out of the way. Romans 6:15. What shall we say then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, once you start knowing how wonderful God is and all he's done for you, you don't want to break the rules anymore. You don't want to sin anymore. You want to obey, because you know that when you get up and start looking at life from behind God's eyes, you're going to see only one thing, and that's do this, it works. So you got a relationship? Dynamite. Do you have unconditional love and forgiveness operative in that relationship? Because if you don't, it's probably not a very good relationship. You want to hold the guy to rules? You want to hold the woman to rules? Oh, you didn't. You didn't. You want to be the police officer? Oh, you look what you did. That's not fun. That is not fun. And we've all done it. That's not fun. That's not inspiring. No, we can have great relationships. We can have relationships that have love in them, genuine love in them. We can have relationships that are partnerships, where we stand side by side and we don't get on the opposite side of the fence from each other. And that's what the resurrection life ushered in for us. Grace. Do you have grace toward people? Do you look at people and say, yeah, I know you made that mistake, and it is, you know, be honest with you, I kind of hate you, but I'm going to get over it, honestly, because I'm going to look at you the same way God looks at me. And the difference is, When God looks at me and I make a mistake, he doesn't say, yeah, I kind of hate you right now. He loves me anyway. I'm human, you know, so I added the little I hate you in there. No. The crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ at the cross put our sins away once and for all time and made it possible for every creature to have a so great salvation. You can be saved. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 say this: For if the word spoken through the angels proved unalterable, and it did, and if every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, and it did, how will any creature escape if we neglect taking advantage of so great a salvation? You know, when we hear about the lake of fire, the place where unbelievers voluntarily choose to go because they don't want a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, when we hear about it in the Bible, it says it will be a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Right? What does that look like? Oh! You know what weeping looks like. But gnashing of teeth is, oh man! It was so easy! I could be in heaven. All I had to do was believe in Christ. Ugh! And the conscience in the lake of fire never dies. So it's like an endless do loop. And it plays over and over and over and over again all the times you were offered salvation. And you said, no, I don't believe in God. There's no God. Jesus Christ, he was a man, he was a rabbi. And that plays over and over and over again. And what does the Lord Jesus Christ say in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9? It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to a change of mind about Christ. It's not the fate that this Jesus Christ wanted for you, because he went to the cross in crucifixion for all mankind, not for some. And it's not the fate he wants for you. And so five words separate you from heaven. Father, I believe in Christ. And you would let your ego get in the way of that. You would let your traditions get in the way of that. You would let your religion get in the way of that. No. No, not if you're smart. Not if you are selfish. You should be properly selfish in this matter. You should listen to what the flight attendants say when you get on an airplane. Put on your mask first before assisting the others. The flesh, the sin nature, carries with it an incurable disease called spiritual death. And it is the condition of every human being at physical birth. He is spiritually dead. And if you notice, that's not on your birth certificate. It's not on your birth. Welcome, Rory Clark, Mr. Spiritually Dead. It's not there. Right? But if you're fortunate, there are people in your lifetime who will bring you to situations like this, and you'll get to hear it. Do you hear it? Do you hear it? Today, churches are filled all over the world with people who feel an obligation to come out on Easter, and their other obligation, they feel to come out on Christmas. And the churches are filled today with people who feel this obligation. But do you really know why it is that you feel that obligation? God buried that obligation in your heart. He buried that in your heart so that you would come out and hear at least twice a year this magnificent offer, this magnificent message of a salvation, a so great salvation. Will you neglect it? How will we escape if we neglect that free gift? And that is not a cause for you to feel guilty or pressured. That is a cause for you to feel uplifted, because nobody has ever loved you like that in your life. And God loves you with a love that is inexpressible. Inexpressible. And he died for you so that all your sins would be taken care of and they would be out of the way, so that sin would not be a master over you. And you either want to take advantage of that or not. The condition of every human being at physical birth, spiritual death. The sin nature and spiritual death are masters over all of us. But the Lord Jesus Christ's propitiatory work at the cross made a perfectly satisfactory payment. That's what propitiation means. One time, only Christ could do it. Perfectly satisfactory payment was made on your behalf at the cross. And so in the eyes of God the Father, there is a remedy for the spiritual death problem, the sin nature problem, and the personal sinning problem once and for all time, and it was Christ at the cross. And your name was personally in Christ's mind when he was hanging from that cross for 3 hours, and all of your sins were ticked off onto his back. And your name was on every one of them, and he didn't get down off that cross as all those sins were ticked onto his back. And what he was saying to you by being there for that is that your mistakes are not an issue to me. And if you ask an unbeliever a really simple question, how do you get to heaven? You know what they always say? You got to be a good person. Yeah, but you're not. What do you mean? But you're not a good person. You know that. You know that. You don't have to tell me. I don't need to know what kind of person you are, but you know you're not a good person because you look at that person in the mirror every day. You know what that person did that nobody else saw. You know, one day we're going to be able to see it. The video cameras are getting pretty pervasive. We're going to get them in your house pretty soon. We're going to see all that nasty stuff you did and put it up on TV. But right now, that's not the situation. But you know. You don't feel good about it. All the things you've done, all the people you've hurt, you don't feel good about it. You're not a good person. But isn't it lucky for you that that's not the way you get into heaven? Isn't it lucky for you that Jesus Christ went to a cross to make a way for you to get into heaven that had nothing to do with whether you were a good person or not? A simple, non-meritorious choice. Father, I believe in Christ. That's it. That moment is the moment of eternal life for you. Romans chapter 6. Verse 17 says, thanks be to God that though you were slaves to the sin nature at that point when you were born physically alive and spiritually dead, you were slaves to a sin nature. Isn't it great that you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed? What think ye about the Christ? What think ye about the Messiah? Someone stands before you and says, you can have eternal life because God loves you unconditionally. And all you have to do is have a conversation with God the Father and say, Father, I believe in Christ. And that's the moment of eternal life for you. And you don't have to be a good person at all. You can go right back to your sinful life right after that. And after you live that miserable life out, you're going to be in heaven, face to face with the Lord forever and all eternity. That would not be the preferred way that God would have you handle it. Some people handle it that way. I've got a brother who handled it that way. He's very clear that Jesus Christ is his Savior. And he has actually told me on occasion, and I'll see him in heaven. But between that time when I believed in him and heaven, this part's on me. He's committed to that. Awesome. It's his right. It's his prerogative. Romans 6:18. Having been freed from the sovereignty of the sin nature, you became slaves of righteousness. What an ironic turn of events. From slavery to freedom, the slavery of spiritual death, to freedom through believing in Christ, to the right kind of slavery, slavery to righteousness. Righteousness, that one of the many gifts that God gives you at the moment of salvation. He stencils onto your forehead, plus R. Absolute righteousness. And from that point on, when you look at yourself from behind God's eyes, God looks at you and he sees his Son, Jesus Christ. When God looks at you, believers in Christ, he sees the same thing he sees when he looks at Jesus Christ, a person who is absolutely righteous, a person who is holy and blameless, a person who is destined for heaven. A saint. And that's amazing. And June said it in the song, Amazing Grace, my chains are gone. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Once you respond positively to the good news concerning what the Lord Jesus Christ has provided for you by his crucifixion, you are not only saved, but you are eternally secure. You cannot lose your salvation. How many gifts do you ever get where once you have them, you can't lose them? Romans chapter 8, we're going to go from verse 1 to 17. And by the way, you know, you should see some really cool things about just taking out this Bible once in a while and just reading what it has to say. You don't have to know the Greek. I'll take care of that part. But just look at the beautiful words that are being spoken. So Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in union with Christ Jesus. Every believer in Christ is in union with Christ Jesus. And therefore, God sees no condemnation. You are freed from the condemnation of the lake of fire. You are not going to the lake of fire. You are going to heaven. And my question is this: how bad can the ghetto mansion be in heaven? Amen? How bad can it be? I don't think it's going to be all that bad. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, the Mosaic law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh. What does that mean? You can't do anything to save yourself. You can't do anything to stop sinning. And the Mosaic law flushed that out. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. How? Sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. For what sin? The sin nature in your personal sins. He condemned sin in the flesh. That is a powerful statement. He condemned sin in the flesh. What does that mean? Sin is dead. The sin nature is dead for anyone who wants to believe in Christ. The sin nature is dead to them, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's believers in Christ. We do not walk according to the flesh. We are not children of wrath. We are not children of the flesh, nor can we ever be. We have moved out of darkness into the marvelous light. And we walk now. Walk means to have a lifestyle. We have a lifestyle now according to the leading of the Spirit, which you cannot lose under any circumstance, because it is a free gift from God. Verse 5, for those who are according to the flesh, unbelievers, set their minds on the things of the flesh. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, is not a condition. It is a permanent gift. Let me repeat that. The filling of the Spirit is not a condition. A condition is a temporary state. It is a permanent gift. The indwelling of the Spirit is a classroom. The filling of the Spirit is the directions that are given in the classroom, and they don't ever go away. Ever. And this has been distorted as condition. No, it's not. We're talking about unbelievers and believers here. All right, verse 5. Those who are according to the flesh, unbelievers, set their minds on the things of the flesh. That's all they can do. But those who are according to God the Holy Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is spiritual death, unbelievers. But the mind set on the Spirit is the Zoe life and peace. And chapter 5 of Romans outlines that peace. We've been looking at that in our Lord's Supper celebrations. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, unbelievers. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, and it's not even able to do so. Does that sound like a believer, that we're not able to do so? That does not sound like a believer. That's an unbeliever. And those who are in the flesh, unbelievers, cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, believers in Christ, but you're in the Spirit. And in the Spirit there is in pneumati. It's the same as it is in Ephesians 5:18. In pneumati, in the Spirit. Not filled with the Spirit, in the Spirit, permanently, in the Spirit, all over the New Testament, in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, and it does, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, that person doesn't belong to Christ. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The Spirit is what takes care of the sinful nature rearing its ugly head after salvation. So then, brethren, believers in Christ, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, but if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. Unbelievers will die, the second death. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, believers in Christ, these are sons of God, adopted adult sons. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Daddy, Father. And the Spirit himself, God the Holy Spirit himself, testifies with our human spirit, which we're given at the moment of salvation, that we are children of God. And if children of God, heirs of God also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, and we do, so that we also may be glorified with him. You don't have to understand the Greek to understand what just happened, do you? You don't have to understand the Greek to get that. Now let's look at some specific verses. Romans 8:3. Let's start there. Is that where we're going to start? No, we're going to start at Romans 8:2. Here's what that says. The law of God, the Holy Spirit, the God of the Zoe life, which comes from being in union with Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of the sin nature and spiritual death. Crucifixion and resurrection conquered death. Without the indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit, we are in bondage to the flesh. We have no spiritual life. With the indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit, we share in the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Zoe life. And the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, helps us to understand the truths that the mind of Christ is revealing to us. God, the Holy Spirit, is our paraclete, our parakletos in Greek, the one sent to come powerfully to the assistance of every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ in every matter. There is nothing that you're dealing with right now in your life that God, the Holy Spirit, isn't on the job with you, leading you to the perfect outcome. The Lord Jesus Christ promised to send us the Holy Spirit in John chapter 15, verse 26. He said, when the Helper, the Paraclete, comes, whom I, the Lord Jesus Christ, will send you from God the Father, that is, God the Holy Spirit of truth, who proceeds from God the Father, he will testify about me. The Lord Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit to you. John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14 say, but when God, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, and he hears the mind of Christ, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine, and he will disclose it to you. God, the Holy Spirit, is the voice of truth. Now look at Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. For what the Mosaic law could not do, in that it is helpless through the flesh, God the Father, sending his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Sin is condemned in the flesh, which means sin has no rights with us now. Sin has no rights with us now. It has been dealt with at the cross as an established fact. Romans 8:4, that the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled by God in us who walk not after the flesh. We don't have a fleshly lifestyle, but instead we reject its temptations. but we walk after the Spirit. Now, our work in the first 3 months of this year at Barah Ministries has been centered on our spiritual freedom. Freedom from the legalism of a theology that perverts and distorts and voids God's person and His work. Freedom from an insidious attack on the two things we celebrate today, crucifixion and resurrection. The crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ offered all mankind the opportunity for positional sanctification, the chance to be set apart in union with the Lord Jesus Christ through the baptism of God the Holy Spirit. The resurrection of our Lord then put a powerful agent at our disposal, God the Holy Spirit, who teaches us about experiential sanctification. He is the law of the Zoe life. He is our peace. He conforms us to the image of God the Son. He considers us beloved. He completes us. He fully influences us. And He seals us to make us eternally secure. And in Ephesians 4:30, we're told, "Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." That's the day of redemption of your body when you get a resurrection body. Let's take a 5-minute break and then we'll continue. 5-minute break.
Celebrate Jesus.
Welcome back. So, funny thing that we have this body that the Bible calls the flesh, and the sin nature is in there, and when we become a believer in Christ, we're not removed from the body. So we have to carry it around with us for the rest of our lives. We're not removed from the sin nature at salvation, but the cross renders the power of the sin nature impotent. And being delivered from the law means that we believers have a new life, the resurrection life, the Zoe life, Z-O-E, the life of grace. And we must lay aside forever the life of the sin nature and spiritual death, instead putting on the new self life, the life of God the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says this, those who are according to the flesh, unbelievers, set their mind on the things of the flesh. That's all they can do. But those who are according to the Spirit, believers in Christ, set their minds on the things of God the Holy Spirit. So what are the things of God the Holy Spirit? God the Holy Spirit is always directing us through our biblical study to handle life in a certain way. So I told you today, you got a relationship. You have a relationship problem. Two ways to handle it. Forgiveness and unconditional love. You want to do it? Great. You don't want to do it? Then what are you doing? Your mind is set on the things of the flesh. Now, what is that? That's torture for you. It's torture. That's all it is. Because you're trying to extract a payment from somebody that they will not give you. And when they give it to you, you wouldn't be satisfied with it anyway. So the only thing you can do is just let it go. And all kind of miraculous things happen when you just let it go. And it's amazing. I realized when I was married that one of the things that I wanted, I was badgering my ex-wife to say, is you're a good husband and you're a good father. Well, she wasn't going to say that. If our relationship was great, she might have said it. But if the relationship is horrible, she's not going to say that, right? And then all of a sudden I realized, you know what? Since it's never coming, I'm just going to let it go. Like, psst. She said it a week later. That's what happens. It's miraculous. There's just something funny about what happens when you just look at life from God's eyes. Not funny, ha-ha. Funny, amazing. The Lord Jesus Christ's work on the cross was perfect. And for those who believe in him now, we have the perfect resurrection life, the Zoe life, so that we can live a life beyond our wildest dreams. A life that the Lord Jesus Christ has turned over to us. Because the blood of Christ, which was shed on our behalf at the cross, restored the possibility of relationship with God for all those who believe. So we are no longer paying attention to human philosophies and human explanations and theologies that call confession of sin, which is a fleshly activity for forgiveness, non-meritorious. Confessing your sins for forgiveness is not non-meritorious. In a non-meritorious situation, you place your confidence in the object of your faith. If you are not forgiven until you confess your sins, you are placing your confidence in yourself for the forgiveness of your own sins. And how can that ever be considered non-meritorious? Galatians 2:21 says this, I do not nullify, this is Paul talking, I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, first class condition if in the Greek, and let's assume for the sake of argument that it does, then Christ died needlessly at the cross. You see, if mankind can do something to be forgiven, like confessing sins, there is no need for Jesus Christ to pay for sins at the cross. If your sins are only forgiven by confessing them, as the precepts of men suggest, then God the Father should be considered insane for sending his son to the cross. And of course, we know full well that God the Father is brilliant. So let's have a quiz. Ready? All right, it's a true-false quiz. So, first question, because of the Lord Jesus Christ's work at the cross, which cared for the sin problem once and for all, you can become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ by a simple choice to believe in Christ. True or false, and if possible, prove your answer with a Bible verse. Raise your hand if you think it's true. All right, raise your hand if you think it's false. Good thing, because anybody who raised false, we're going to taser them. We have police officers in this congregation. You will get tasered. All right, proving it with a Bible verse is Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. Next question. True or false? You have been commanded by God to grow in the sphere of grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And for all of these questions, it'll be, if possible, prove this with a Bible verse. So raise your hand if you think it's true, that we have been commanded by God to grow in the sphere of grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Raise your hand if you think it's true. All right, it is true, and here is the Bible verse. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the sphere of grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Third question, true or false? The Lord Jesus Christ said that he will send you a paraclete, God the Holy Spirit, who will lead you into all the truth. Raise your hand if you think that's true. Raise your hand if you think that's false. Raise your hand if you don't have an opinion. It is true. Here it is. John 16:13. When he, God, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Next question, true or false? As a believer in Christ, you are to listen to what God, the Holy Spirit, has to say to the churches today. Raise your hand if you think that's true. Raise your hand if you think that's false. What God the Holy Spirit has to say to the churches today. As a believer in Christ, you are to listen to what God the Holy Spirit has to say to the churches today. Raise your hand if you think it's true. All right, it is true. Revelations 2:7 says so. He who has an ear, let him hear what God the Holy Spirit says to the churches. That is a command. True or false, God the Holy Spirit's ministry to you as a believer in Christ is the foundation for the success of your spiritual life. True or false? Raise your hand if you think that's true. All right, I'll read it to you again. God the Holy Spirit's ministry to you as a believer in Christ is the foundation for the success of your spiritual life. Raise your hand if you think that's true. That is true. Ephesians 5:18, don't get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Here's what that verse actually says. You can be fully influenced with wine, or you can be fully influenced in the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is in charge of your spiritual life, the Zoe life. True or false? The indwelling of the Spirit and the filling of the Spirit are gifts from God that cannot be taken away, not even by God. I'll read it to you one more time. The indwelling of the Spirit and the filling of the Spirit are gifts from God that cannot be taken away, not even by God. Raise your hand if you think that's true. Raise your hand if you think that's false. That is true. It is true. Romans 11:29 says the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. What does irrevocable mean? Can't be reversed. True or false? I'm going to read this twice. After declaring that your gifts are irrevocable, like the filling of the Spirit, God would then change his mind and take the filling of the Spirit back, or worse, let you ruin this irrevocable gift by losing it, dependent on whether or not you confess your sins. I'll read it again. After declaring that your gifts are irrevocable, like the filling of the Spirit, God would then change his mind and take the filling of the Spirit back, or worse yet, let you ruin this irrevocable gift by losing it, dependent on whether or not you are confessing your sins. True or false? Raise your hand if you think that's true. Raise your hand if you think that's false. That is false. You see the left turn? Look at that left turn. So you got, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you're saved. You've got, grow in the sphere of grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. You've got, God the Holy Spirit of truth will be given to you to lead you into all the truth. You've got, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. You've got, don't be fully influenced by wine, be fully influenced by the Spirit. You've got, the gifts of God are irrevocable, and now we're supposed to believe, rebound, that your sins are not forgiven unless you confess them. There is no spiritual life without rebound. All these Bible verses go down one track, and then there's a left turn. No. No. And now let's harp on 1 John 1:9. But the Bible says, let's ignore all of what this says and let's zoom into one verse, because that's comparing scripture with scripture. No. Philippians 2, 1 and 2. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, all first class conditions, ifs, and there is. If there's any consolation of unconditional love, and there is. If there's any fellowship of the Spirit, and there is, it's not conditional. If there is fellowship of the Spirit, and it's true, it's not conditional. If we can lose the filling of the Spirit, that would be a third class condition. It's a first class condition. It's true. There's fellowship of the Spirit, we don't lose it. True or false? After making your salvation as simple as a single non-meritorious decision to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God would then turn around and make your spiritual life contingent on rebound, the confession of every sin. Hear it again. After making your salvation as simple as a single non-meritorious decision to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God would then turn around and make your spiritual life contingent on rebound, the confession of every sin. Raise your hand if you think that's true. Raise your hand if you think that's false. It's false. And here it is, Romans 8:32. If God the Father didn't spare his own son, but gave him up as a substitute for us, won't he also take care of our pro-salvation sins? If he gave his son on the cross to die so that your sins could be paid for, won't he take care of your post-salvation sins? Of course he will. True or false? There is something that you have to do to handle your post-salvation sins. There is something that you have to do to handle your post-salvation sins. Raise your hand if you think that's true. Raise your hand if you think that's false. That is false. And good for those of you who didn't listen to the first lesson, because we taught this earlier. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says, my little children, I, John the Apostle, am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. So the first solution to post-salvation sins is don't do it. The second solution is, and if anyone sins, and of course we do, we have an advocate, a paraclete with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who has no sin himself. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, the only perfectly satisfactory payment for our sins, and not for our sins only as believers, but for the sins of the whole world, unbelievers as well. So, unbelievers don't have to do anything about their sins. Believers don't have to do anything about their sins because Christ did it all at the cross. And that's the truth. And that's an established fact. True or false? Before being granted salvation, the unbeliever has to repent of his sins. Before being granted salvation, the unbeliever has to repent of his sins. Raise your hand if you think that's true. Raise your hand if you think that's false. That is false. Again, 1 John 2:1, my little children, I am writing these things so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, not for believers only, but for unbelievers as well. The unbeliever has to do one thing to be saved. I believe. Father, I believe in Christ. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. There can be absolutely no doubt that God the Holy Spirit is at the center of the Christian way of life. His indwelling and his full influence, which we call the filling of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says this, however, you believers in Christ are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit, in pneumati. And if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, and it does, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, and unbelievers don't, he, the unbeliever, does not belong to God. You see, crucifixion took care of the sin problem once and for all time in grace. Thus, the mistakes of all creatures are no longer an issue. Whether you are a believer or an unbeliever, resurrection put the Holy Spirit in charge of your spiritual life. Without him, there is no truth. There is no understanding of Scripture, and there is no application of salvation, which is called the experiential sanctification life. So as we celebrate crucifixion and resurrection today, we invite all who seek to pervert our liberties to take a long walk on a short pier. And we invite them to study the Word of God without the hindrance of legalism. Closing song, Your Word Takes Me. Thank you. I'm confident of this very thing, that God the Father, who began a divine good work in the creation in view, will complete it at the day of Christ Jesus. Do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will garrison your hearts and your minds for those of you in union with Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Almighty God, thank you for providing it all. And please help us to get used to the fact that you provide it all. Thank you for opening our soul to the possibility that you provided it all, and that there's absolutely nothing that we have to do in your plan except obey. And I pray that all who are at the other end of this message will realize that crucifixion and resurrection handled sin and death once and for all time, and open the possibility of an unbreakable relationship with you that lasts for all eternity. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your person, your thinking, your work, your reputation, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.